chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 tonight, talking about the prophet's complaint to God. And before we do that, you turn to the back of chapter 1 if you need to. It's not necessarily need to dig into too many of these verses to answer this question, but there's six questions. I'll give you about 10 minutes just to write down a brief little answer. And get done, we'll discuss these questions and we'll begin to the Bible study tonight. Answer these questions, I'll give you a few minutes and then we'll get started. I see some of you are done and some of you are still working on just another minute here. We'll move into the Bible study. Question number one. Why does it appear that God sometimes tolerates evil in our world, or that he allows it to go unpunished? Anybody have a thought on that?
I think because we see an increase of evil almost every day.
Exactly.
Just when you think evil's gotten to this point, somebody raises it another level.
Okay.
And we're just seeing it all the time.
We do see it all the time, that's for sure.
It gives us free choice, and then we have to.
Yeah, that's a fact. You know, a lot of people don't think about that. Oh, well, why's God permitted this? Why's God? You know what? I'll tell you what I told when we talked about Sunday school Sunday. This was the analogy I used. My wife's been married to me 34 years, and it's not because she's scared of what I'm going to do if she tries to leave. My wife is with me because she loves me. That's what I want. I wouldn't have any other way. And that's what God wants with us. He doesn't want us in a relationship with him because we're forced to be, or because we're afraid of him. He wants us in a relationship with him because we love him. And so therefore, God gives us free will. And so sadly, though, we continually choose to do the wrong thing. I have said for years, it doesn't matter if it's been Adam and Eve, if it's been Todd and Denny, if it's been Charlie and Lauren, Larry or Peggy, Jeff, Barb, Marion and Yvonne. The Genesis story would have ended the same. The fruit would have been eaten. Man would have come to sin. Man would have been banished from the garden. Don't kid yourself. You wouldn't have done it any better.
Yeah.
Okay? You wouldn't. We would still be in the same boat today. Okay? So we can't throw those stones at them. But it does seem, doesn't it, like there's a lot of wickedness that goes on. And it does seem a lot of the time like the wicked are prospering and the righteous suffer. Does that seem right? No, it doesn't. But sometimes that is the way it is. Jeff, do you want to go on that comment?
Yeah, you know, I had some discussions that I had with my children. As adults, they're full of truth and stuff. They're kind of talking about a lot of bad things.
They've seen a lot of bad things.
And you know that we don't know what God's done in mind.
Yeah.
We're only seeing what's happening right now.
Right.
We're not seeing what the future is going to be.
You got that?
We're not seeing the whole picture.
Right.
And they suffer going to buy, they are going through these things. I say it's going to make you better.
Yeah.
It's going to help you.
Well, that's where we come in. Do we believe God when he says that he's working in all things?
God's time is not our time.
Exactly. We do. We quote that from the day a lot, that God is working on all things, but I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm referring myself to this group. I don't think we always believe that promise. It's easy to believe when everything's going good, but when things get bad, then it becomes a different story, trying to believe that, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. I'm going to say this. The world has always been wicked. And I'm going to say this. I can't say that I think it's more wicked today than it was 100 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or in Jesus' day. In Noah's day, the Bible says every thought on man's heart was on evil continually. That's still the same today. Man just keeps inventing new ways to express that evil. That's where we think it's gotten worse. But I don't think man's gotten any better. In Paul's day, what did he write? There's none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none righteous. That's what the Bible declares. We're all wicked. We're all wicked. We're all sinful. So, but you know what? Man's been wicked from day one. But here's what I would like to point out also to you. My Bible also says God is slow to wrath. And he's slow to anger, and he's quick to forgive. And sometimes when I think, God, why are you tolerating this? I stop and remind myself he loves that person as much as he loved me. And I'm glad he tolerated me long enough to come to Christ. And maybe, just maybe, like Jeff said, he's tolerating some of these vile people today that we see, giving them an opportunity to be saved.
All of them.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I've become an equal opportunity wearer out for politicians. I don't really care if they're Democrats, Republicans, or Independents. They're all about equally worthless to me anymore. I don't believe a thing any of them say. I don't think they're out for our best interest. I think they're out for their own best interest, and I think they'd sell us out in a heartbeat if it would profit them somehow. That's kind of how I feel about politicians. And in general, the states, nations, then I have to say that our leaders have been corrupt and are corrupt. Wouldn't it be great, though, if some of those people actually got born again and became a new creature in Christ and had new attitudes and all stuff? Could you imagine? All of a sudden, Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden come out and said, you know, we had a come to Jesus moment last night when all three were saved. And man, the Lord has enlightened us and shown us a new way to take America. And we're going to go back to this book they call the Bible. And it's going to be, could you imagine? Yeah, wouldn't it be awesome? Hope springs eternal. I'm still praying about it. But God is slow to wrath. Just remember that. He's patient.
Don't you think that's what the problem is with straying from the Bible?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to stake something. Me and somebody in this church just had a discussion about this past week. Most people go to church. And I'm not aiming this at anybody, so I don't think I'm talking about you. So, and I'm not even talking just about this church. Most people that go to church today don't have a clue what the Bible says, other than what they hear from the Sunday school teacher and preacher tell them. There's a reason for it. They don't spend any time on it. And I can pretty well tell you in this church who reads their Bible and who don't. And I just tell you my questions I get asked sometimes. And sometimes I get asked questions because I know they're in the Word and there's things they're coming at me with. And then there's times they ask me questions and I'm thinking to myself, how long have you been saved? You know, this is a question you're going to ask. You all know this by now. And that just tells me, well, we don't know the Word of God. And not only do we not know it, if we do know it, half the time we don't even do what it says. So we bring all these things on ourselves. And then we want to blame God. Well, God, just remember, He's patient. He's kind. He's slow to wrath. He's quick to forgive. And we better praise Him, all those who are saved. Brings me to question number two. Why does God sometimes allow His people to suffer at the hands of wicked people? Because it happens.
To test us,
okay. Makes us stronger. You're both right on the right, same page here. It teaches us to trust Him, doesn't it? You know, it teaches us to obey Him, even when we're being pressured not to obey Him. It teaches us to be patient. Any other reasons why God permits it?
To reach out to
us.
To humble us. Maybe we need a little something to slow us down a little bit. That's very possible.
He wants us to be dependent on Him.
Amen. He does. Well, here's something God spoke to me one time and really humbled me about. I was, and this has been a long time ago, but I was praying, Lord, why you let this happen to me? And then He kind of reminded me, do you remember what I allowed my son to go through for you? Yes. Well, why are you so special that you shouldn't have to suffer? I had no answer for that. And I thought, well, if He suffered for me, who am I to think I should never have to suffer, even when I'm suffering for doing the right thing? Let me give you one other thing about this, and we'll move on to the next question. In chapter 5 of Matthew, in the Beatitudes, listen to what Jesus said. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What did He say? You're blessed. If you suffer for doing good, you suffer at the hands of the wicked because of your faith. Jesus Himself said, blessed are you. Again, do you believe that?
Yes.
I do. But boy, when I'm suffering, it's kind of tough to smile and say, praise God, isn't it? That's what we need to do anyway. All right, third question.
If you've looked at the first four verses of Habakkuk 1, how the sins of America can today compare to the sins of Judah in Habakkuk's day?
Same.
Carbon copy.
No judgment. No judgment, no.
I mean, does it strike, listen, I'm going to make a statement. I don't like our current president, and personally, I really didn't like the previous president. I like his policies far better than the current president, but I don't like either one. Okay? But you got Donald Trump in New York City being charged for something that's a misdemeanor and trying to make it into a federal case, and at the same time, that man happened to be, what's his name, Bragg? If you push somebody in front of a moving subway train and they die, they'll let you out with no bail. Because this country lost its mind.
No judgment, no.
No, none. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I may not like the man, but I know a political hit job when I see one. Okay? I'm not stupid. And so, but I just look at the, it's just something not right. And I mean, we look at what's going on in places like Seattle and Portland. And I loved out in Seattle, one of the female councilwomen in Seattle crying on TV. She was leading the band to defund the Seattle police, and she's made a reason a lot of them quit. I'm sorry.
Portland.
Yeah. They have San Francisco. They've got a 1,900 sworn position police department. There's 600 and some police officers short right now.
Yeah.
So they're down about 33%. And crime is rampant. You know why? Because we've made heroes out of criminals in America, and we made villains out of our police. Again, have we lost our mind? All right, then we wonder why these cops quit. Well, guess what? Crime has come to her gated community where she lives, out where the wealthy people are. Her neighbor's car got stolen. Her house got broken into. Now she's crying, we need more police. Well, I remember a couple of years ago seeing her on TV saying we need to get rid of all of them. It's insanity. Have you been paying attention to all the violence going on in Chicago and in New York and places like that? I wouldn't even go, you couldn't pay me $10,000 to drive into downtown and have to turn around and come back. Okay, I have no desire to see it, none at all. There's violence, there is sin of every kind, there's idolatry. Let's just be honest, America has plenty of idols, don't we? Indeed we do. But here's the thing, and this is one I really want you to think about. It's real easy for us to shut these stones at these people outside here. Let's shut a few of ourselves, okay? These are God's people Habakkuk is talking about. These are not the heathens around them. These are God's people Habakkuk is complaining about. The people of Judah. People who should have known better. And it says that there was strife and contention. There are those who raise up, verse 3, strife and contention. I am going to tell you something. I've been a pastor come June 13th, 30 years. And you know how many times I've had to deal with somebody in the church who claimed they were a born-again believer in Christ, that all they did was raise up strife and contention and division in the church? I feel sorry for those people. Because I don't even begin to know what they're going to say to Jesus when he asked them why they were doing this. I have a friend of mine, I heard him badmouth in his church in front of some lost men. And I got him aside and I chastised him. I said, you think them guys you just talked to who saved are lost, they're lost? I said, do you think what you just said, badmouth in your church and your pastor, is going to create a desire in those men who want to know Christ themselves? He said, well, probably not. I said, son, you better remember something. You go badmouth in the church, you're badmouthing his church. You go try and tear the church down, guess what? You're trying to tear down his church. You divide the church and cause strife, guess what? You're causing strife and division in his church. And I'll be honest with you. If you ever set out to be that person, I feel sorry for you because you will give an account of that to God. It's coming. You just better prepare yourself. And I don't have a clue what you're going to say to him when he says like that. And I'm going to say this.
there are some harsh words, here they are. We've had some troublemakers and strife causers and contentious people in this church. I'm gonna be honest with you, I praise God they left. I really do. Because even though we don't have as many people here now, guess what? We don't have near as much strife and conflict. And it's funny, when just a couple people leave, all of a sudden you realize that there's strife and conflict that's coming for us. I'll be honest with you, I ain't missing it. And anybody else who wants to call strife and division and controversy in the church, there's a door. Please use it. Because we don't need it. This is God's house.
Amen.
Not my church, not your church, His church. And therefore, we need to treat it that way. But yet, there were people in Baptist today, they were causing strife and contention. And these were God's people. Okay? So these were God's people. So be careful. All right, now, do you believe America could be in danger of God's judgment today?
Yes.
How many of you believe we could be? Raise your hand. Anybody don't think there's been a chance? Of course. All right, so let me ask you this. Who or what do you suppose, question five, God might use to chastise America to humble our nation today? You got any ideas?
Communism,
socialism.
AI.
Artificial intelligence. Well, if that will scare you, I don't know what's going to scare you.
Sickness like COVID.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Planes,
disasters. Driving up the lake.
How about the Chinese?
Yeah.
Is anybody else paying attention?
Yeah.
And all the farmland they're buying up in America and how much land they're buying close to our military bases and we're letting it happen? Again, how dumb are we? You think they've got good intentions towards us doing that? Have you seen, maybe you have or haven't, have you seen what the Chinese and the Indians, the country of India, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and now I believe Brazil are looking to move to paying for oil with the Chinese yuan, however you pronounce it, rather than the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar forever has been the world currency that everybody uses. You know what's going to happen to our economy if the world moves away from the dollar into something else? It's going to be awful. You think things are bad now, honey? This is a picnic compared to what happens with the dollar, which no longer is the world currency.
He's going to use the economy to do it.
Oh, yeah. Economically, he can hurt us. I mean, food, famines. I mean, you know, hey, you remember back a few years ago when we couldn't find toilet paper? Remember when panic everybody got? Couldn't find toilet paper. My sister in Florida could not find toilet paper. Luckily, I found a bunch, and guess what? I shipped her some. It cost me more to ship toilet paper to Florida than it did to pay for toilet paper. Okay, I couldn't believe $30-some shipped a big case of toilet paper to Florida via UPS. She got it. They couldn't find it. So helping her out. I was nice. I figured it up, Jeff, between shipping and everything. We got $4 to roll. I am a good brother, I'm telling you.
You're sending her a catalog.
Yeah. Here's an old Sears Roebuck. All right. But, you know, eggs got real high, bacon's gotten high, beef's gotten high. Man, I'm so glad I have beef cows because I haven't bought beef in the store 12 years. And I looked the other day at a store how much beef was. I like fainted. I'm so glad I got to live in the country and I had a garden and pressure canner and a water bath canner and 300 or 400 jars and lids. And I know how to do this. I'm glad I don't know what I'd do if I didn't.
We're in inflation.
Oh, yeah, it is inflation. And it could get far worse. Oh, it can get a whole lot worse.
It'll get worse.
Yeah, it's going to get worse. There's a whole array of things God can do and a whole bunch of people that aren't Americans that God can use. So just keep that in mind. And then there's the last one. You ever got an answer to a prayer you didn't want? How many of you ever prayed for something and then God gave you an answer that wasn't the answer you wanted? You prayed about it, and God gave you an answer, and you're like, that is not what I wanted, Lord. Anybody bold enough want to share an example?
Yeah, it's in Omaha.
Our daughter's in Omaha. My wife is not happy.
Marriage is
Sure, they're in Texas. Yep. Debbie prayed, or prayed, prayed. She come back closer, Columbus, or Cincinnati, something like that. No, Omaha, Nebraska. Yep. Well, Debbie could be worse. She could be in Anchorage, Alaska. And I've got a friend of mine, his daughter has been in Jordan, in the Middle East. So, how would you like to have your kid in the Middle East? No. All right. Let's move into this real quick. Let's read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll talk a couple of minutes here. We're running out of time. It says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? He will cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? The spoil and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceed. Boy, we could be talking about the United States of America. Yeah. All right. Now, I'm going to say this. I want to give you a little food for thought tonight. Sometimes bad things happen. And what is the number one reaction God's people have when things get really bad?
Right, fixing ourselves.
No. Now I'm talking more theologically, not our personal response to it, but rather where our thoughts go.
Oh, like blaming God for the situation?
No.
Okay.
Let me give you what I'm talking about. Charlie, people who believe in Bigfoot, if they go to the woods and they hear stuff at night, everything they hear is Bigfoot, isn't it? Yeah. You believe in UFOs, everything in the sky is a UFO. I know a guy over home, he believes there's Bigfoot over there everywhere I live. I ain't never seen it or seen evidence of it, but I'm going to tell you something. I had to go pick him up once at 5 a.m. when we were working together, and he ran from his house to my truck for about a week. He was without his vehicle, and this went on, and I finally got day three. I said, why are you running from the door? There's a Bigfoot up there on the hill behind us. Yeah. He was serious. So the fourth day, I locked the door on him. I thought he was going to come in blue. That was not funny. I'm telling you, anything he saw, anything he heard, it's a Bigfoot. I have another friend who believes in UFOs. Everything he sees in the sky is a UFO. Guess what, Christians? We think everything that happens in the world means Jesus coming back in the morning. We do.
Yeah.
I mean, all signs point to that, don't we? I got news for you. The disciples and the apostles thought Jesus would return in their lifetime. People in every generation have thought for 2,000 years Jesus was coming back any day. And here we are today, and I just heard a guy go, oh, it's going to be coming soon. Coming before this year is over. How do you know? Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, and we don't know these things. It's possible, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe when our world becomes so evil, God's going to return.
Yeah. I believe there's things got to happen still for God to return, for the Bible to be completely fulfilled, too. Those things could happen very quickly. I mean, don't get me wrong. But you know what? It's also possible. Well, even though Jesus might return tomorrow, do you also realize that he may not be back for another 1,000 years?
Amen.
I know. Great thought, isn't it? This scares me what the world's become in the past 25 years. I ain't seen 100 more years, let alone 1,000. But for all I know, he may not come back for quite a while. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, and that's exactly what he meant. And there's always been people thought it's going to be right now, and they've always been wrong. But tonight I want to present you another possibility. Maybe our world today is just as wicked as it's ever been, and nothing's changed. We're just as wicked as people in Noah's day, and they're just as wicked as we were. They just didn't have Twitter and Facebook and internet and TV and phones. They just didn't have the same tools to express that wickedness that we do. But I guarantee you, they were just as wicked as we were. Mankind, like I said, was extremely wicked in Noah's day. They were wicked after the flood. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were very wicked in Abraham's day. And in all of history, the history of Israel, the people of God, they were continuously rebellious against God, rebellious against his word, and they were very wicked and very idolatrous. Men were so wicked in Jesus' day, think about this, they killed the Son of God. I think we're just bad. We just got different ways to do it, okay? And I hate to say this, we've also become more accepting of it.
Most times I think God is already showing some of these countries what he can do.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think people don't believe that, but I do. I think about it every day.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's what I want you to think about.
We've been blessed here.
We have. That don't mean we're always going to be. But if you look at biblical history, you see over and over, God dealt with wicked people, didn't he? Did he deal with the wickedness of Noah's day? Yeah.
He dealt with
Israel. Yeah, he did. Did he deal with the wickedness, let's see, in Sodom and Gomorrah? Did he deal with the wickedness and the disobedience of Babel? Yes. Man, just go through the Bible. You just see over and over and over and over, God was dealing with wickedness. It wasn't necessarily the end of time. It was just, they got their plot planned. And so this is what I'll say tonight. I know the moral and spiritual condition of America today has become deplorable, but maybe that's not so much a sign of his return as it is a sign that he's just getting ready to clean our block. You ever think about that?
Yes, sir.
That might be what's coming. It may not be that Jesus is going to return next month. It may be we're going to get our clock clean and get put in our place. And when I look at what God has done to people in the past, it scares me when I look at the sins of this country to think of what he might do to us.
It's coming.
This is what happened, after all, in the book to Judah. The people of God become very wicked. Things were very bad. This wasn't a sign that Judah was about to end. It was a sign they were about to be punished. Were they punished? Yeah, they got drug off to Babylon for 70 years. It was a bad deal. They were punished. Tonight, I want to begin a study. It's going to take us a few weeks on this book. Because there's so much I believe this book can teach us concerning not only the condition of our nation, but also the condition of the church. And in this, I think we might be able to see how we as God's people can avoid the same kind of fate Judah ended up suffering for their sins. And by the way, the people of Judah were God's people. And they were people that he had a covenant with. Does God have a covenant with America? No. So if God was willing to do to them what he did to them, what do you think he might do to us? I'm just saying. So let's get started with a little background. Anyone tell me what makes this prophecy of Habakkuk so unusual from the other prophecies in the Old Testament, whether they're what we call major prophets or minor prophets? There's a difference. This book's got a little twist to it that makes it unusual. Anybody know what it is?
Is this a conversation between him and God?
Charlie gets a gold star tonight. This was not God saying, hey, I want you to go to these people and say this. He did that to Jeremiah. He did that to Isaiah. He did that to all prophets, but it's just conversation between Habakkuk, the dialogue between the prophet and God, and this book is just a record of that dialogue. But think about this. We have it today, and it's for our good, isn't it? Aren't you glad we have a copy of this dialogue between God and Habakkuk? It's for our benefit. Now, I've done a lot of research for this on Habakkuk. Some scholars believe he lived at slightly different times, but they all have him in a window around 30 years, close to the same time. Some believe that Habakkuk wrote this prophecy during Manasseh's reign. Some think it was written under the reign of Jehoiakim. I'm probably in that camp, but I don't know for certain either. It really doesn't matter when Habakkuk wrote this as much as what he wrote that matters. Regardless who was king over Judah at the time, the Babylonians were coming onto the scene as the world power of the day. I will say this, it does give me some pause to see America declining and China rising. Our military today, I'm sorry, veterans, they're more interested in what pronouns they're going to use with each other than they are getting prepared to fight an enemy. And we're going to get slaughtered if we stay on this woke path that we're on. The military is the military, and that's what they ought to be, is the military. And you know what? When you go to war and you're in a war, it's not a pleasant thing, is it? And we need people who are prepared to go do that. God forbid we should need them to do it.
But unfortunately, I look at the military, and in a lot of cases, they become just like the world. I said this. My grandfather volunteered in World War II. He was in the 30s, had a couple of kids with a pregnant wife. Then his grandfather, and he married in his 30s, had a pregnant wife and three kids, and he went. And they both fought. And I said, boy, I'm so glad it was that generation back then fought World War II and not this generation today. We'd all be in trouble.
Depend on the rockets and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Instead of the people that actually does the work.
Yep. So it is scary times. And the Babylonians back in this day, they were expanding westward. They were conquering nations as they went. They were going into the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were daily becoming bigger and a bigger and bigger threat to the people of Judah. Does that happen today? Sure it does.
What did Khrushchev say in the United Nations?
Tell me.
We will worry you from then, within.
Yeah.
That's what the Chinese do.
That's what they're trying to do too. Yep. You know, on TikTok in China, they're only allowed to get on. Some kids are only allowed to get on so many minutes a day. And you know what they do get on? They're teaching them science and math. Over here in America, there's all these TikTok challenges trying to get kids to go commit crimes. There was one where kids were committing suicide because of the TikTok. Who do you think's doing it? And I like that. That's what I said. You know all this fentanyl coming across the southern border? You know how many Chinese the border patrol has caught coming across the U.S. border in Mexico, from Mexico into America? Why are Chinese people coming into America illegally through Mexico? Again, do you think they've got good intentions? No, I don't. I think you're a fool if you do. The jet brought all this fentanyl was made in China. You know, there's 100,000 people have died now because of fentanyl poisoning. I heard a military guy, who's a general, on the news the other night. He said, the Chinese have already killed 100,000 Americans and they fired a shot. Again, how dumb are we? And we're letting it happen.
We don't have a leadership.
No, we don't. That's the sad part, brother. Yep. Let me ask you this, and you just got ahead of me. That's all right, brother. Do you see any examples in our nation today where our leaders are leading the people of our nation into sin and wickedness? Absolutely. How about abortion? We've got politicians who think that's okay. How about same-sex marriage? It's politicians who made that the law of the land. How about this gender reassignment? I mean, we've got a governor right now who supports children being able to go have gender reassignment procedures done without even talking to their parents. They're passing out birth control at schools to young children, 11, 12 years old, and don't have to have their own consent. What are they doing when they do that? Aren't they kind of telling them it's okay for you to go have sex? That's exactly what they're teaching. It is terrible. It's awful. It's okay to kill. Because you know, when you're going to tell them they lie to these children and tell them they evolved from apes, why are we shocked when they act like apes? I mean it. You know, we take prayer out of school. We take God out of school. You know, why? Because a few people whine about it. It's sad. Use a national emergency to shut the church down. You know exactly what I'm talking about. 3 years ago. Any excuse to shut God's house. Boy, they used that, didn't they? But at the same time, the abortion clinics, those were essential. The liquor stores were essential. But God's house, what, doesn't that just state the state of America today? Yeah, I know. Yeah, then, yeah, my granddad was better for you. Yeah. Well, your granddad might have been, but you ain't. Those are just a few examples I came up with. But here's something I'll bring out. The life of Habakkuk overlapped the life of Jeremiah. Some scholars believe he was what we call a temple prophet. I'm not going to get into what all that's about, but that's what he probably was. To give you a little history of the times, after Josiah died, and by the way, he was the last good king of Judah. His son Jehoahaz was made king.
He was wicked. He didn't last too long, about 3 months. Then Pharaoh Necho III of Egypt deported Jehoahaz to Egypt, replaced him with his brother Jehoiakim, and he was what you'd call a vassal king. Do you know what a vassal king is?
No.
A puppet. That's what he was. Jehoiakim was just a puppet for the Pharaoh Necho.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep, just yes, ma'am. This guy'll do what I tell him. We'll call him king, but he'll do what I tell him. That's what a vassal king was. They just puppet over Judah doing the Pharaoh one. Jehoiakim was very wicked. Evil flourished under his leadership. And for the 2 decades after Josiah died, the Babylonians were rising up to become the dominant world power of the day. God said they were going west, and they were sweeping up everything they could find. Now, we're just going to look at one verse here real quick. Verse 1. Listen to this. This is important, the wording. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. What does it mean when it says Habakkuk was burdened? Yeah, he had a good idea. Something bad, but he didn't know. He really, we're going to see, he didn't have no idea what was coming. He just thought he did. But what does this mean that he was burdened?
Heavy load.
Heavy load, okay. About what? Okay.
About prophecy coming true.
Y'all remember the book in the book of Luke when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the triumphal entry? Remember when Jerusalem came to view? What did he do? What did Jesus do on that day when Jerusalem came into view?
He wept.
He wept. Why?
Because he knew they were about to reject him.
You know, most of the people that were singing their praises were going to die and go to hell. Because he knew they'd reject him. That when push came to shove, they rejected him. And he wept. That's kind of how I picture Habakkuk when it says he was burdened. I kind of picture a man lying on the ground weeping over the condition of his nation, both morally and spiritually. And while there's no record that anything specific happened with Habakkuk himself, he was witnessing everything for long. And I'm going to say this. I live out in the country. I don't worry about people around me breaking in my house while I'm gone. I come to church on Sunday morning. I don't give too much thought about my house getting robbed while I'm gone. There are other places in this country, if I lived, I would have a different outlook. Okay? I thank God I live in this region of the world. Don't you?
Amen.
It's not perfect, but boy, it's a whole lot better than a lot of places. And while nothing bad really has happened to me too much, I mean, I could complain if I wanted to about some things, but honestly, I've got pretty good. But I still see what's going on. And it still bugs me. It still bothers me. Well, I got 2 things to say about this, which relates to this. First of all, we do see all the evil going on in our nation as well. We have a much better knowledge of our nation's evil than Habakkuk did, because we get a front row seat to that wickedness every time we turn TV on. Or you turn your computer on, or you turn your tablet on, or your phone on. And sadly, we've been bombarded with all this wickedness to the point that I think the vast majority of God's people, yes, I'm talking about you and me, we have just kind of become numb to it. We've become desensitized to it. To the point we don't even notice it anymore. And I'm going to be honest, it doesn't bother us anymore.
We get in that situation because we know that there's nothing we can do.
Well, we tell ourselves that. We tell ourselves that. That ain't necessarily true. Have you noticed something? I cannot watch a TV show. I don't care what show it is. I don't even care if I'm on MeTV watching Andy Griffith. When we go to the commercials, there's got to be a commercial with a homosexual couple. Have you noticed how many drugs they now have for sale that they're having? Man, I'll tell you what, the legal drug dealers are worse than the illegal drug dealers in America. There's drugs for everything. I don't see side effects. And then what really gets me is I listen to all this birth control commercials, and I listen to stuff that, I'm going to be honest with you, 40 years ago would have not been allowed to be on TV.
Right.
Now we got commercials on medications they're trying to sell gay people that have these diseases that they've gotten because of their homosexuality. And we applaud this garbage in America. We have gay pride parades all over America every year. They got more in the National Hockey League trying to make these hockey players wear these pride jerseys. There's been a few teams come up and say, we ain't doing it, because you know why? There are some players in the NHL that are Russian, and they got to go back home to Russia, and if they wear something with gay pride, if they go back to Russia, they get put in prison and get killed. And if they don't go back to Russia, they can have their families in prison or killed. And so some of the teams have stood up with their fellow players and said, we ain't doing it. I'm glad. But the NBA's gone woke. The NFL's going that direction. I mean, you know, it's just everywhere you turn, that's all you see. Now we got a guy that's my size, has had a gender reassignment surgery, and he's swimming in women's college swimming events, and he's winning all of them because he's a man competing against women. And that poor little girl went to the University of Kentucky and complained about it, and a lot of people uproar about killed the girl because she spoke the truth. Again, it's insanity, but it's where we are. What is?
Fentanyl.
Yeah.
It's a good, useful drug. It's used every day in surgeries.
Sure.
And they made it awful.
Absolutely. And all the TV shows all have gay characters, lesbian characters, transgender characters. And like I said, I hate to say this, but I think we're getting to the point where we're not even bothered by it anymore because we see it all the time. We've been so desensitized to the point we don't even notice it, much less care about it. And I'm going to tell you something, church, that makes us complicit. If we go along, if we're silent, if we take this attitude, there ain't nothing I can do about it, so we just might as well conform and go with them. We're just as guilty as they are. And I'm not convinced, I'm going to say something, and yeah, I'm even talking to you people when I say this, I'm not convinced we have any real burden for the spiritual or moral condition of this nation or the church today. You know why I make that statement? I say that because week after week we have invitation after invitation. We have an opportunity to come and pray with a handful of people come to this altar and pray. And a lot of them, I'm going to say this, probably, if truth, a lot of them probably praying about things that they have problems with or desires that they have, just things they need rather than praying about somebody else. I do not see the people of God. I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the church in general. But I do not see the people of God coming together at the altar in the church today, weeping and mourning over the condition of the nation and the church. I don't see us up here weeping and begging God to come and help us. I don't see us begging God for a great spiritual awakening in our nation and in the church. What I do, though, see is that we just seem to sit here bothered, unbothered by all of it. That's what I see. I'm as guilty as anybody. There is something we can do about it. We can pray about it. We can stand up to it. We can tell the truth.
Amen.
You're going to make enemies if you do, I promise you.
Amen.
I've got children that will not speak to me. Because I have told the truth on these subjects. That's her problem, not mine. I'm going to tell the truth, and I don't care who likes it. I don't care what it costs me. And I'm going to pray about it. And I'm going to encourage you to do the same. We can stand up. We can tell the truth. We can pray. We can beg God to come and pour out His power once again on this nation and on His church. And that there be an awakening. I'll tell you something. If God moves, things would happen in America.
Amen.
But if God's people are just going to sit here content and unbothered by it all and not even bother to pray about it, I got news for you. It ain't going to happen.
Amen.
Because I got news for you. The lost people out here ain't going to pray for God to bring a great revival and awakening in this country. If people got me going to do it, what's going to happen? It won't. Friends, like I said, people, God ain't going to do it. We're not going to beg God to heal our church and heal our nation. We're not gonna come together and pray for a powerful woman of the Holy Ghost. Who do you think's going to? Nobody. And the people of God begin to really get burdened, and I mean burdened like Habakkuk was, over the condition of the nation and the condition of the church, where we're wanting to come and pray for God's help while we're here. I'm telling you something, that's a recipe for disaster. If the church ain't going to get serious about praying about these things, if we're not going to get burdened about these things, if we're not going to beg God to help us with these things, I can tell you what's going to happen. Worse than what happened to what happened to us will be worse than what happened to Judah. It's coming. Like a freight train. But God can stop it. But if God's people just say, well, just wait, there's nothing I can do about it. Just go on. Just, you know, not make any waves. Not going to worry about it. Not going to be burdened about it. Not going to pray about it. Well, buckle up. It's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. And I'll tell you this, I'm going to say something. And I hope I don't offend you. If I do, you're just going to be offended. But I'll tell you something. The people of God won't come together in God's house and pray together at the altar and beg God to come and help us. I'll tell you something. I have a hard time believing we're doing it at home.
Amen.
Really do. I have a hard time believing. If we ain't burdened enough to come up here and pray about it, really, are you spending hours a day at home praying about it? Because if you are, why aren't you coming up here when we meet together to pray? I'm just saying. I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm just trying to be honest. But I'm telling you something, the people of God better wake up. Amen. The people of God better be burdened for our nation and burdened for the church. We better start weeping and mourning over the condition of our nation and the church. And we need to quit being numb to all the evil that's going on around us. And we better start standing up and telling the truth. And we better start praying. And we better start begging God to move. For I believe America is doomed.
Amen.
Sorry, but it's just the truth. Because I am telling you, God has dealt harshly with far better people than us. And if he did it to Judah, he'll do it to us.
Amen.
He had covenant with them. He ain't got no covenant with us. Verse 1 says Habakkuk was burdened. He was burdened because of all the wickedness that he was seeing in his day. That's what it says, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And he was so burdened, what did he do about it?
He cried to the Lord.
He cried to the Lord. And that's just what I said we need to do. He prayed. He took it to God. This is exactly what the people of God need to do today, get burdened. We begin to cry out to God. Now, I'm going to stop here tonight. Next week, I haven't got through one more verse. We're going to look at the prophet's complaint. And then we're going to look at God's very surprising response. And I promise you, it's surprising. It shocked the time out of poor old Habakkuk. And I think God would show us, hey, here's what's coming for America if y'all won't repent. I think it would shock us as well. Let me just put it to you the way God put it to back. He said, I'm going to do something in your day you wouldn't believe even if I told you. And indeed, God did. He did it to them, he'll do it to us, I promise. God is patient, friends.
Amen.
But his patience will only get us along.
Amen.
Eventual judgment will come. Maybe the dead situation we're in is not so much that it's we're at the door of Christ's return. Maybe we're just at the door of God getting ready to let us have it. Maybe that ought to lay aside and take us to our knees where we cry out to God. That's what we need to do, church. We need to begin to cry out to God and beg him to help us. Because if God doesn't intervene, if God doesn't help us, I shudder to think. Cheery message tonight, huh?